Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 11:56 p.m. That is Hong Kong summer time, and today is July 31st, and we're about halfway through the trading day in on Wall Street. And what we can see quite clearly is that it's a pretty quiet day. That by and large, what we have is a reasonably quiet day on stock markets. The Nasdaq is being weighed down by some of the mega caps that have had reasonably significant pullbacks following earnings last week. Apple is going to be reporting this week, so that has the potential to add some additional volatility. But then what we can also conclude here is that this is a rotationary environment where there is continued strength coming through from the resources sector, from the banking sector is still reasonably firm, and that then biotechnology is also doing rather well. When we look at Asia, then it is also we're getting a pretty impressive performance coming through, for example, from the Hang Seng. That was up over 1% in here today. And that is also reflecting the fact that China has got somewhat better earnings figures coming through. It's also got some better economic figures coming through. But the more important fact is that the administration in China doesn't want anything in the way of an embarrassment before the Party Congress. This is going to be Xi Jinping's key moment in history, where he is going to be able to stamp his authority on the party and ensure his legacy, and nothing is going to get in the way of that. And that is certainly the message that is coming through loud and clear from the stock market. There are a couple of additional charts, though, that I wanted to share with you, or at least to try to discuss with you. Before I get to that, I have a focused in comment of the day today on the automotive sector, because Tesla has brought out its Model 3, and the most important thing that it has is that it's brought down the cost per mile driven to $144, and that is a record. So not only does it have a 310-mile range, but that it's actually doing it on a relatively cheap basis. And that continues the trend towards cheaper batteries. Now, that's if we have cheaper batteries, that isn't going necessarily to improve range, but it is going to make the range that is available more accessible. We need technological improvements to further increase range, but economies of scale and will encourage greater innovation, greater investment in the battery sector. So that's all possible, and of course that will also help to improve the recharging times. It's going to be quite interesting whether Fisker is actually going to deliver upon his new car, where he is saying that he's going to have major innovation in the battery side. So we'll see whether that is just marketing fluff or whether he can actually deliver it later this year. But the trend is towards all of this getting better, and that is going to be revolutionary. It's an absolute game changer for the energy sector, for the transportation sector, and indeed for economies generally. If it's a further iteration of the fact that technology is inherently deflationary. But what I wanted to talk to you about primarily today were lead indicators for recessions. It's something that I was giving quite a bit of thought to over the weekend. And when we look at, for example, the yield curve spread, then it has a wonderful record of giving us lead indicators for recessions, and when it becomes inverted, that's generally a lead indicator for a recession for between 6 and 18 months, and it is still quite a way away from giving us any kind of signal. But of course it's not the only lead indicator, and US corporate profits is another. And I was thinking about this over the weekend for the simple reason that we are halfway through the earnings season, and it has been reasonably favorable, and there has been a slew of reports talking about the cyclically adjusted PE and how high it is relative to history, and that it is one of the highest levels that we've seen since 1929. I think one of the more important facts about this long-term trend of corporate profits is that it has been a lead indicator for crashes. and or for major market tops. We can see that it peaked in 1997, but the wider market didn't peak until 1999. It peaked in 2006, and the market crash was in 2008. It peaked in 2014, but it hasn't really declined. And in fact, it's been improving for the last year or so. And if corporate profits continue to come in ahead of expectations and continue to improve, then there is the potential that this could break on the upside. If it breaks on the upside, then that is going to contribute to, well, at least potentially contribute to valuations contracting from what are already very high levels. And that would be an incredibly benign outcome. So, the most important thing about when looking at some of these fundamentally driven charts is that they are reported with a significant lag. This isn't going to be updated for the second quarter until the end of August. So we've got another month to wait before we get those figures. And of course, it takes time to collate all that data, considering that the earnings season won't be over for maybe another week or two. But it is going to be really rather instructive, because if it can succeed in improving, and not least if it can succeed in pushing on to new highs, then that would be a further tailwind for the economic expansion, for the stock market expansion. It would lend credence to the synchronized pattern of global economic expansion that we have. But on the other hand, if it does not improve, if, for example, it were to break below 2000, then that would constitute a top, and we know what tops would what kind of ramifications those have had previously. So, what happens with corporate profits is certainly worth keeping an eye on. And I think, you know, it's also worth just keeping an eye on oil prices, because they have tended to be lead indicators for recessions previously, and right now they are certainly not flashing any kind of warning light. This is a rangy environment, and so far we have had a pretty significant rally over the last couple of weeks, but when you think about that in terms of the trend over the last 2 years, it's been rangy, it's been choppy, it's been prone to these occasional bouts of volatility, and this is a rally back up towards the progression of lower rally highs. It's about where, if resistance is going to be encountered, we're pretty close to that level right now, considering that there is a short-term overbought condition. And we can see very clearly on the daily chart that there is this progression of lower rally highs that's been in existence since January. And we're back towards where that level would be threatened. So it's a rather interesting environment for oil prices, but it's surging oil prices. It's prices that are going up in multiples that contribute to recessions, and we're absolutely nowhere near that right now. So when we start to think about, we start threading all of these together, then there is a lot of fear being exhibited in various corners of the market, and yet we have no evidence of type 1, type 2, or type 3 trend endings in the major indices. We have plenty of evidence of a rotation going on, but what we also have evidence of is that an increasing number of markets are breaking up and out of long-term ranges, and that's enormously bullish. That when we click through the world equity indices and just simply count the number that are breaking upwards and those that are making new lows, then you can count on one hand those that are making new lows, and you run out of fingers when you're counting those that are making new highs. And that's the definition of a bull market, if ever one was required. Then I think it's also worth keeping an eye on the commodity complex, because it does tend to outperform in the latter stages of a cyclical advance, and it is now turning to a position of outperformance. Gold prices are above $1,250 and rallying from the lower side of this range to the upper side, which is around $1,300, and it really does need then to sustain a move above that to confirm a return to demand dominance beyond the short term. But when if we were to then start to think about where can we find some consistent trends, then copper has posted a very impressive breakout, and that is being corroborated by the outperformance of the metal sector generally. The LME Metals Index also breaking on the upside. And even in the soft commodity complex, sugar, which has been one of the weakest chart patterns, is exhibiting a short covering rally in here. And we've certainly got some loss of momentum. I think it's probably better to look at the NYBOT contract, because we've had a fairly significant contract change on London sugar, so that is throwing off the chart a little bit. But we can see that on the US sugar, that it's been rallying most of the month already, and it is now pressuring the progression of lower rally highs. And I think more importantly, it is looking increasingly likely that it's going to close that overextension relative to the trend mean. Coffee prices, which had also been under a fair amount of pressure, have staged a pretty impressive rally over the last month and are now trading back above the trend mean. So it isn't just in the industrial commodities, but we're also seeing in some of the agricultural commodities that there is a return to demand dominance. And I think it is interesting too that when we look at the constituents of the Dow Jones, that it is companies like Deere that are really starting to exhibit a very clear pattern of demand dominance. So this is indicative of the fact that we're in a benign environment, that generally speaking, if in normal circumstances, in the latter stages of a cyclical advance, it's when growth starts to pick up, that growth starts to get stronger. And this synchronized period of global economic expansion that we have right now is fits right into that template, and that is what generally helps the what is a depressed resources sector to turn to outperformance. And we've certainly had evidence of that over the course of 2016, and it took a break for much of this year, but now we're starting to see that turning around again. And when we know that that's where these are the kind of things we see at the beginning of the towards the end, or the beginning of the latter stages of a cyclical advance. What we see at the end of that latter stage is when the commodity sector is among the best performing sectors in the world and hitting new highs. And then we see that some of the leaders from the early part of the advance are beginning to trend lower. The fact that some of the technology shares have paused, that isn't cause for alarm just yet. But if we started to see shares like Amazon or Google or Facebook or Netflix or Tesla trending lower, then that would be certainly a cause for reassessment and consideration, because they have been among the best performing shares during this 10-year expansion, and or almost decade-long expansion. So when we think about all of these things together, obviously we want to remain alert to what the issues or the potential issues are, but at the same time we have to remain at least true to the chart patterns, and not to tell the market what to do, but to monitor the market and to react to what the information that it's giving us. And right now there is no evidence of type 1, type 2 or type 3 trend endings, and the vast majority of lead indicators do not indicate that we are proximate to a peak. So that would suggest that the most likely course of or the direction for markets is that we're going to have a further rotation, that is likely to constitute some ranging, but then we break on the upside once more. And it would require some very clear downward dynamics, very clear top formation development characteristics to question that view. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.